الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Respected brothers in Islam, my young friends and sisters listening at home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His infinite grace and mercy has granted us a priceless treasure in the form of the glorious Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, Al-Qur'an ahabbu ila Allah min as-samawati wal ard. Quran is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the heavens and the earth. In another hadith, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, فضل القرآن على سائر الكلام كفضل الله على سائر خلقه. The virtue of the Quran over all the other kalam, over all the other books, over all the other literatures, is just like the virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over all His creation. Every book that was revealed upon the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam before the glorious Quran were books only. Kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawrat is Kitabullah. Zabur is Kitabullah. Injil is Kitabullah. Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only the Quran that enjoys this great status, that whilst it being the Kitabullah, it is also Kalamullah. It is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an attribute from the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has always been there. Quran has always been there. And Allah will always remain. Quran will always remain. Allah has always been there from azal and Allah will always remain till abad. Quran has always been there from azal. It will always remain until abad. This Quran, this glorious book, this ultimate word of His, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted to us. We should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great favor of His. And in order to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to look at the lives of our pious predecessors, how they behaved with this great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with this priceless treasure that was granted to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we study the lives of our pious predecessors, right from our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Sahabai kiram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, going on to tabi'in and then taba tabi'in, until our pious predecessors of our time, we will find that each and every one of them connected himself to this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through three ways. One, recitation. Number two, understanding the message. And number three, implementing that message. The culture during the time of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alihi majma'in, and thereafter the Tabi'in, Taba Tabi'in, during the times of the A'immatul Muhaddisin, A'immatul Fuqaha, amongst the Sufiya, amongst the Sulaha, the pious predecessors, was that each person would recite one manzil per day in Salatul Tahajjud. So recitation of the Quran meant that the person was reciting the Quran in Salatul Tahajjud, in Qiyamul Layl. So if a person was asked during their time, that how much Quran do you recite? And if he said 3 juz every day, it meant, I recite 3 juz in Qiyamul Layl. How much do you recite? If he said 20 juz, it meant, I recite 20 juz during Tahajjud at night. How much do you recite? If he said 7.5 juz, it meant he used to recite 7.5 juz in Tahajjud during the night. And the culture was that each and every person completed his Quran in 1 week. A person would recite one manzil every day during the time of the Sahaba, the Tabi'in, the Taba Tabi'in, amongst the A'immatul Fuqaha, A'immatul Muhaddisin, the Sufiya, the pious predecessors. This was the norm, that each person used to recite one manzil. And there are 7 manzils in the Quran. The Quran is divided into 7 manzils. So each person would complete one Quran per week. And in a whole year, he would complete 52 Qurans. 52 Qurans. This was the norm. Then you would find some people who would complete the Quran on the third day, 10 juz on a daily basis. And then you would find some people who would complete the Quran on a daily basis. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala used to complete the Quran on a daily basis in Qiyamul Layl. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala used to complete the Quran in Qiyamul Layl on a daily basis. Tamim Dari radiyallahu anhu used to complete the Quran in Qiyamul Layl on a daily basis. Hazrat Sa'id ibn Jubair rahimahullah ta'ala, the great Tabi'i and the special student of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, used to complete the Quran in Qiyamul Layl daily, the whole Quran. So the culture amongst the pious predecessors was to recite the Quran as much as possible during Qiyamul Layl in Tahajjud. And majority of them used to complete the Quran in 1 week, some in 3 days, and some on a daily basis. So much so that we find the likes of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who had promised Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that on a daily basis I will complete so many juz from the glorious Quran. I will recite so many juz from the glorious Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that complete the Quran once a week. He said, no, I have the ability to do more. So it continued, and he made a promise with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I will complete the Quran in so many days. Every third day I will complete the Quran. I will recite 10 juz every day. In Bukhari Sharif we find a narration of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that he says that when I became old, and during old age, my memory slightly became weak. I had to concentrate a lot when reciting the Quran. I became weak physically, mentally. So he says that because I had promised Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was not a promise that was binding upon him, it was a mashwara from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that recite the Quran, complete it once a week. He said, no, I can do more better. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, final decision from me, you will complete the Quran in 3 days, 10 juz daily, finish, not less than 3 days. So he said, okay. So it was not binding upon him, but because this conversation took place between himself and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he had so much honor and respect for this conversation that took place between himself and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would on a daily basis recite 10 juz in Qiyamul Layl. And when he became weak and frail, he would spend most of his day trying to capture these 10 juz to his memory, so that he is able to recite these 10 juz in Qiyamul Layl. The point I'm trying to emphasize is that during the day when he used to revise these 10 juz, he would not take that as recitation of the Quran. He would not take that into account that I have completed my ma'mool of 10 juz that I had promised to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would revise these 10 juz, maybe once, maybe twice, maybe thrice. And he would feel that I have completed my ma'mool only when he would recite the 10 juz in Qiyamul Layl. So majority of them, once a week, they would complete the Quran in Qiyamul Layl. Some of them every third day. Some of them daily basis, on a daily basis. Urwa ibn Zubair, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the great tabi'i, he would recite in Qiyamul Layl 7.5 juz daily. And from the time he became hafiz until he passed away, throughout his life, only one day he did not recite this ma'mool. Throughout his life, daily in tahajjud, he used to recite 7.5 juz. And those people who have given his account, they state that Urwa ibn Zubair rahimahullahu ta'ala would not only recite the Quran, he would recite the Quran whilst following the tafsir of the Quran. So he would spend major part of his 24 hours in studying the tafsir of those 7.5 juz. So that when reciting during the night in Qiyamul Layl, he is able to concentrate on the Quran and whilst keeping the tafsir of these 7.5 juz in front of him, he is able to recite. Qari Abdul Rahim Sahib Panipati rahimahullahu ta'ala, the well-known student of Qari Fateh Muhammad Sahib Panipati rahimahullahu ta'ala, both of these personalities are amongst the greatest qurra of our time. Qari Fateh Muhammad Sahib Panipati rahimahullahu ta'ala and his student Qari Rahim Baksh Sahib rahimahullahu ta'ala. And the student of Qari Rahim Baksh Sahib rahimahullahu ta'ala is Qari Tahir Rahimi rahimahullahu ta'ala. And I had the fortune of meeting Qari Tahir Rahimi rahimahullahu ta'ala because he resided in Madina Munawwara. And my late Sheikh Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Yusuf Ludhianvi, rahimahullah ta'ala, had very close acquaintances with him. So he took me and I had the opportunity of meeting Tahir Rahimi rahimahullah ta'ala. And until he breathed his last, whenever I used to go to Haram, he was very affectionate to me. So when I used to go and meet him, many a times I used to go and meet him between Asar and Maghrib, just before Maghrib Salat, because it was his habit to perform every Salat in the first row. So if he came for Zohar, for example, then he would not go until after Isha. So I knew where I would find him, in the first row. So when I used to go and meet him, I used to go and meet him before Maghrib, because I knew where I would find him. And he would make place for me as well in the first row. It was his habit that immediately after the Maghrib Salat, after his wadaif, he would get up from his place and he would perform very short two rakat sunnah. And after performing two rakat sunnah, he would engage in the nafl. So he would perform two rakat sunnah, very short two rakat sunnah immediately after the Maghrib Salat. And thereafter he would begin the nafl. And this first rakat of nafl every day used to continue until the Isha Adhan. He would just stand in that qiyam, motionless, engrossed in the glorious Quran, and he would recite as much as possible in one rakat until the Adhan of Isha Salat. And when he used to hear the Adhan of Isha Salat, the Adhan in Masjid Nabvi takes slightly longer than in our Masajid, so he would go into Ruku and he would perform the second rakat very lightly, and by the time the Muazzin would end his Adhan, he would complete his two rakat and immediately he would get up for four rakat Sunnah Ghair Muakkada of Isha Salat. Qari Tahir Rahimi, I saw him with my own eyes, and never did I witness him resting between Maghrib and Isha. Whenever I met him on various occasions. Whenever I met him, this was his ma'mool. And his sheikh was Qari Rahim Baksh Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala, one of the greatest Qurra. Even Qari Tahir Rahimi Rahimahullah Ta'ala was a great Qari. I heard directly from Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Damat Barakatuhum that whenever I have a question regarding the qiraat of the Quran while studying hadith or tafsir, and I consult various qurra, he said the only person who can satisfy me is Qari Tahir Rahimi in Madina Munawwara. He was a very great Qari. His ustad was Qari Rahim Baksh Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala. Regarding him, Haji Muhammad Farooq Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala once said to me that I went to meet Qari Tahir Rahimi Rahimahullah Ta'ala in Karachi. I heard that Qari Tahir Rahimi has come into Karachi, so I went to meet him. So he said, when I went, he had just performed his wudu. And I shook hand with him, assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. And he said to me that, let me perform two rakat tahiyyatul wudu and then I will engage in discussion with you. So I said to him, Hazrat, if you are performing tahiyyatul wudu two rakat, it is nafal. If you may allow me, I will join you and we will make jamaat of two rakat. I would like to hear you recite the Quran. So Qari, my Haji Muhammad Farooq Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala said, he said, okay, fine, stand behind me. So he said, Allahu Akbar. And in the first rakat, he recited 10 juz. In the first rakat of Tahiyyatul Wuzu, Qari Rahim Baksh Sahib Rahmatullah recited 10 juz. So Qari Rahim Baksh Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala, his ma'mool of daily recitation of Quran was 20 juz. And he was a full-time teacher in Khairul Madaris. Full-time teacher. From morning till night, he would teach. Full-time teacher. Despite being a full-time teacher, despite having so many other commitments, he would make sure that he recited 20 juz on a daily basis. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Yusuf bin Nuri, rahimahullah ta'ala, I read in one book that he himself was encouraging his students to recite as much Quran as possible. So he said to his students that one day I was invited to give a lecture before the Juma Salah in another town. So I traveled from Karachi into the other town on Thursday, and I reached there on Thursday night. I spent the night at my friend's house and we went to the local masjid to perform Fajr Salat. And I had to lead Juma in another masjid. He said, after the Fajr Salat, I had no intention of staying in the masjid, but after the Fajr Salat, I felt nice in the masjid and I recited Surah Yasin, Wadaif, whatever I had to do. And then the urge was felt that I want to recite the Quran. So he said, I started reciting the Quran from Suratul Fatiha, then on to Suratul Baqarah, then on to Surah Ali Imran. He said, I just kept on reciting. One by one, the musallis left. I was left alone in the masjid. And just before Juma Salat, when I looked at the clock and when I thought to myself that I better start moving from here because I need to reach the other masjid for bayan, I had recited 26 juz in one majlis. This was the connection that our pious predecessors had with the Quran. This is the connection as far as recitation is concerned. Recitation. There are two great personalities in history, Ali ibn Saleh and Hassan ibn Saleh. Ali ibn Saleh, hafiz of the Quran. Hassan ibn Saleh, hafiz of the Quran. And their mother, hafiz of the Quran. So mother is hafiza of the Quran, Ali is hafiz of the Quran, Hassan is hafiz of the Quran. And then they had divided the whole night into three parts. So the mother would get up, maybe immediately after Isha, or whenever her slot came, and she would recite 10 juz from the Quran. The other son would recite the second 10 juz. The other son would recite another 10 juz. And the three of them put together would complete the whole Quran on a daily basis. So from after Isha until Subha Sadiq, somebody in the house is reciting the Quran. The other two are sleeping and one is reciting the Quran. When the mother passed away, after burying the mother, before the nightfall, the two brothers sat down and they said that whilst mother was alive, we were reciting the whole Quran on a daily basis. And from Isha till Fajr, in our house was Quran, 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 Quran. Alhamdulillah, for so many years, we should continue with this mamul. So from today, we both recite 15-15. So they began reciting 15-15 juz. For many years, they lived, alhamdulillah. And when one of the brothers passed away, the other brother continued to recite the whole Quran daily in Qiyam until he breathed his last. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala during the month of Ramadan would recite two Quran on a daily basis. Imam Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala during the month of Ramadan would recite two Quran on a daily basis. And Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala would go as far as reciting two Quran daily basis in Ramadan every day and also on the day of Eid. So during the night of Eid he would complete one Quran, during the day of Eid he would complete the whole Quran. So if the Ramadan consisted of 29 days, he would complete 60 Qurans. If the Ramadan consisted of 30 days, he would complete 62 Qurans. Sayyid ibn Jubair rahimahullah ta'ala was once given the opportunity to enter the Kaaba. So he went into Kaaba, and it is sunnah that when you go into Kaaba, you perform two rakat, because this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. So following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he began Allahu Akbar, and he began reciting the Quran, and he continued, before he knew, in the first rakat, he had recited the whole Quran. And one day, one of his companions met him, one of his students met him, Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam, and he noticed that there was some heaviness on the tongue of Sayyid ibn Jubair rahimahullah ta'ala. So he said, are you okay? Everything okay with you? He said, yes, I'm fine. Health wise, I'm fine. But there seems to be something wrong with you, stroke or something. He said, no, I recited the Quran last night more than my usual ma'mul, my usual practice. So he said, what is your daily practice? He said, 30 juz daily. So he said, yesterday you recited more than your usual practice. So how much was that? 40, 45 juz, how many juz? He said, I recited 75 juz last night. 2.5 Quran in one night. And my young friends, we should not think to ourselves that it takes me 15 minutes to recite one juz. How is it possible for somebody to start reciting Quran from Isha until Fajr and recite 75 juz? No. We should not think this way. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in the lives of certain people when they continually practice a certain item. When they continue, Allah, miracle, we believe in miracle. We believe in miracles. We believe in mu'jizat of the Anbiya alayhim as-salam. We believe in the karamat of the awliya. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he traveled from Makkah Mukarrama to Baytul Maqdis, making so many stations on the way. Thereafter, first heaven, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. He saw Jannah, Jahannam, Lohe Mahfuz. He communicated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He returned to Musa alayhi salam, again to Allah, returned to Musa alayhi salam, again to Allah, returned to Musa alayhi salam, again to Allah so many times. He came back to Baytul Maqdis, he returned to Makkah Mukarrama. And how long did it take him? Not even a second. Not even a second. So this was mojiza. So this is possible. Shah Ismail Shaheed Rahimahullah Ta'ala, it is quoted regarding him in authentic book, Shah Ismail Shaheed Rahimahullah Ta'ala, that he was able to recite the whole Quran during the time between Asar and Maghrib. During the time between Asar and Maghrib, it was well known. Everybody was talking that Shah Ismail Shaheed Rahimahullah Ta'ala completes the whole Quran between Asar and Maghrib. So one day somebody said, Hazrat, we have learned that you recite the Quran between Asar and Maghrib. We would like to see you practically recite the Quran from Alhamd till one Nas between Asar and Maghrib. We want to see. Is it possible? So a time was fixed. A place was fixed for after Asar. And Hazrat arrived in that place after Asar with hundreds of people around him, dozens of people. And he began reciting the Quran from Alhamdo, with Tartil, with Tajweed. He continued reciting. The sun did not set until he completed the Quran. Between the time of Asar and Maghrib, he recited the whole Quran. So our Akabir, our Mashaikh, this was their attachment as far as the recitation of the Quran is concerned. They used to recite the Quran so much. Mansur ibn Zadan, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, it was his ma'amool to recite two Quran on a daily basis throughout his life. And Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash rahimahullahu ta'ala, for 30 years, without fail, continually, he recited one Quran during every night. Allahu Akbar. Sufi ibn al-Katib rahimahullahu ta'ala, it was his ma'amool to recite 8 Quran on a daily basis, 4 during the day and 4 during the night. This was their connection with the recitation of the Quran. Now what we need to do, my friends, is assess our situation. How much Quran do we recite? Wo zamane mein muazzaz the musalma hokar, hum khar huye tareeke Quran hokar. This is the problem of the ummah. This is the problem of the ummah, that the people before us, they saw glory. Why? Because they were connected to the Quran. And we cannot see that glory. All we are experiencing is disgrace on a daily basis, and we are sinking in disgrace. Why? Because we have disconnected ourselves from the Quran. The first thing we all need to do is to make a firm resolution that I will recite the glorious Quran on a daily basis. And how much? The Huffaz need to recite 3 juz on a daily basis. 3 juz on a daily basis. Our Mashaikh, they say that the Huffaz should recite three juz on a daily basis, majority of which should be in Salat. And if we are unable to recite 3 juz, let us begin with 2. And if we are unable to recite 2, let us begin with 1. And if we are unable to recite 1 on a daily basis, majority of which should be in Salat, because we may have forgotten it, then let us recite quarter on a daily basis 4 times. So let us revise the quarter once, and thereafter recite that quarter 3 times in Salat. Inshallah, slowly, we will pick it up. It will become 1.5, it will become 2, and it will become 3. And before we know, we will be reciting 1 manzil on a daily basis. So the Huffaz need to recite 3 juz on a daily basis, majority of which should be in Salat. This way, the Huffaz will never forget the Quran. And the non-Huffaz need to recite 1 juz on a daily basis. At least 1 juz on a daily basis. If you are already reciting 1 juz or more than 1 juz, Mubarak, Alhamdulillah, be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and continue with it. If you are not, then begin with 3/4. If not 3/4, half. If not half, begin with quarter. If not quarter, begin with 1 ruku. Make a start with 1 ruku. Inshallah, the taste of Quran will pull you towards it. If you make a firm resolution that come what may, on a daily basis, I will read 1 ruku from the Quran. This 1 ruku will become 2 ruku, 2 will become 3, 3 will become 4, 4 will become 5. Before you know, despite not being a Hafiz, you yourself will be completing the Quran in 7 days or 10 days. So this is the first thing that we see in the lives of our pious predecessors, that they used to recite the Quran, recite the Quran, recite the Quran. Hakim Fakhruddin Sahib, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, I heard from Hazrat Maulana Abrar Ahmad Sahib, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, that Hakim Fakhruddin Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say that Quran is ma'jun-e-murakkab. Quran is ma'jun-e-murakkab. Now to explain this to those young boys who have grown up in the British society and who do not know what ma'jun-e-murakkab is, I say to them that Quran is multivitamin. Quran is multivitamin. Everything we do, any amal that we carry out, it has a positive effect on our spiritual health. If we say Subhanallah, 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 it has a positive effect on our spiritual health. Alhamdulillah, 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 it has a positive effect on our spiritual health. So Subhanallah is one type of vitamin. Alhamdulillah is another type of vitamin. Astaghfirullah is another type of vitamin. Durood-e-Paak, Salat al-Nabi is another type of vitamin. So if a person engages in Durood-e-Paak, it's like he is consuming and taking vitamin C only. And if a person engages in Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, it's like he is taking vitamin A only. And if a person is engaged in Kalima-e-Tayyibah, it's like he is taking vitamin B only. If a person recites the Quran, Hakim Fakhruddin Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala used to say, it is like taking multivitamin. It will bring all the benefits, all the benefits, all the benefits. So recitation of the Quran, make a firm resolution, my friends, that inshallah from today we will recite the Quran. Every day after the Fajr Salat or any time during the morning, recite Surah Yasin. Every day before going to sleep, at least recite Suratul Mulk and Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will safeguard you from the punishment of the grave and punishment of the day of Qiyamah. And every Friday try to recite Suratul Kahf. And if you find that Suratul Kahf is very long, start reciting the first ruku only. And thereafter, once you get the hang of the first ruku, recite two rukus. When you get the hang of two rukus, recite three rukus. When you get the hang of three rukus, recite four rukus. It will not take you more than 10 to 15 minutes every Friday. And inshallah, you will be saved from every fitan, every type of fitna. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who recites Suratul Kahf every Friday will be saved from the fitna of Dajjal. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that no fitna greater than the fitna of Dajjal will come upon my ummah. So if Suratul Kahf is a shield from the fitna of Dajjal, then we can deduce from that that Suratul Kahf will be a shield from every type of fitna, inshallah. So Surah Yasin every day in the morning, Suratul Mulk and Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda every day, any time after Maghrib before going to sleep, and Suratul Kahf every Friday, and on a daily basis, one juz or three quarter of a juz or half a juz or quarter juz or one, attach yourself to the Quran, my friends, connect yourself to the Quran. Number two, what our pious predecessors did in trying to connect to the Quran, they understood the message of the Quran because they were great ulama. So they were able to refer to the classical works and understand the message of the Quran themselves. If we are ulama and we are able to refer to the classical works, we should refer to the classical works and try to understand the Quran. If we are not ulama, then we should take guidance from the ulama, sit in their durus. We, the people of Leicester, I say this outside Leicester also, that Alhamdulillah, we in Leicester are very fortunate that seldom you will find a masjid. As far as my knowledge is there, majority of the masajid have ulama and imma who impart the rules of the Quran. And I say this very frequently at the Islamic Dawah Academy as well, that we are very, very fortunate that all the musallis who perform salat in various masajid in Leicester, they do not have to go anywhere to try and understand the Quran, because they have their imma, their own ulama, who are imparting the Quran. And Alhamdulillah, majority of the masajid have imma imparting the Quran, the ulama imparting the durus of the Quran, durus of the hadith in both languages, Urdu and English. So you have a slot for Urdu, you have a slot for English. We should attend these durus of the Quran and try to understand the message that was sent to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ghazali rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says that, O the son of Adam, a letter comes to you from another son of Adam. So a letter of a creation comes to you. You are also a creation and he is also. A letter of a creation comes to another creation. And when you open that letter and you are unable to read because it's in Arabic, or because you are not familiar with the English language, you are unable to read, you are unable to understand the message, what do you do? As soon as you open the letter, you start phoning people, you start going to people's home, you start to call people to your home, or you go to their house and say that, please, can you tell me what message this letter contains? Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says that this letter that has come to you from a creation, it either contains a message of happiness, or it either contains a happy message of grief. It's either happiness, grief, that this person is getting married, or this person is engaged, or this person is sick, or this person has had an accident, or this person has passed away. So it's either a message of happiness, message of grief. Further, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that this message of happiness is not eternal happiness, it is limited happiness. And this message of grief is not of eternal grief, it is temporary grief. So message of temporary happiness. Despite that, a letter from the creation has come to you with a message of temporary grief or temporary happiness. Despite that, you cannot rest in peace until you understand the message that this letter is containing. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, here you have a letter, you have a message from the creator to the creation. And he further says that this also contains the same two messages, happiness and grief. But eternal happiness and eternal grief. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ forever and ever. أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ forever and ever. Message of eternal happiness. Message of everlasting happiness. Message of eternal grief. Message of everlasting grief. So letter of the creator has come to the creation with the message of everlasting happiness, everlasting grief. But despite that, you have no time to understand even the first verse of Surah Al-Fatiha. First verse of Surah Al-Fatiha. All those brothers who are here, we have reached the age of 60, 70, 55, 50. Despite that, we are unable to understand what we are saying when we recite Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. We are not concerned at all. No concern. So we need to sit in the company of the ulama, their durus, and in their guidance, study books also. Study authentic books. So we need to understand the Quran through authentic sources, from reliable ulama, from reliable books. And where we don't understand, we refer to them again. We ask them again. So, the second thing that our ulama did, our pious predecessors did as far as Quran was concerned, is to understand the meaning of the Quran. Allama ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullahu ta'ala says, رُبَّمَا تَعْلَاتُ عَلَى الْآيَةِ الْوَاحِدَةِ مِئَةَ تَفْسِيرٍ. He said, there comes upon me a time when I am unable to understand the message of a particular verse of the Quran, and in order to understand the message with clarity, I study 100 different types of tafsir. رُبَّمَا تَعْلَاتُ عَلَى الْآيَةِ الْوَاحِدَةِ مِيَةَ تَفْسِيرٍ. He said, I have studied in my life on many occasions to understand one verse of the Quran, 100 different tafsirs. And he says that while studying the 100 tafsirs, أَنَا أَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْفَهْمِ. I ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fahm. And I say to him, Ya Muallima Adam wa Ibrahim Allimni. So whilst I am studying, I am continually asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O the teacher of Adam, O the teacher of Ibrahim, teach me also. O the teacher of Adam, O the teacher of Ibrahim, teach me also. And he says that even after that, if I am unable to understand, وَكُنْتُ أَخْرُجُ إِلَى الْمَسَاجِدِ الْمَهْجُورَةِ وَأُمَرِّقُ وَجْهِ فِي التُّرَابِ وَأَقُولُ يَا مُعَلِّمَ آدَمَ فَهِمْنِي. He says, thereafter, if I was unable to understand, then I would go out of my house and go into those masajid which are inhabited, where salat is not taking place. And I would prostrate and put my face in dust. And I would put my face in dust and then say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that manner that, Ya Muallima Adama Fahimni, O the teacher of Adam, give me faham, give me understanding of the Quran. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Imam Mujahid rahimahullahu ta'ala, another great student of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, it is recorded regarding him that he studied the tafsir of the whole Quran from Ra'isul Mufassirin ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, not once, not twice, not thrice, not four times, not five times, 30 times. He studied the tafsir of the whole Quran from his teacher Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma 30 times. Imam Mujahid rahimahullahu ta'ala. It is for this reason, in every tafsir, on every place where there is a difference of opinion amongst the ulama, you will always find the opinion of Imam Mujahid. Imam Mujahid says this, Imam Mujahid says this, Imam Mujahid says this. Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that I have studied the Quran in such a manner that there is not a single verse in the glorious Quran regarding which I do not know where it was revealed and regarding whom it was revealed. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu studied the Quran, the glorious Quran, and it took him just to study Suratul Baqarah 12 years. 12 years it took him to study Suratul Baqarah. His son Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, it took him 8 years just to study Suratul Baqarah. Because they would go deep into the Quran, they would try to understand the message of the Quran. So this is our second responsibility. And our third responsibility is to practice and propagate. Practice and propagate. We need to practice the Quran. Whatever we understand from the Quran, whatever we learn from the Quran, we need to practice. There are so many incidents in regard to this also, because all our mashayikh, all our akabir, all our ulama, all our pious predecessors, right from the time of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam until today, they were very, very firm in their knowledge and very, very firm in their amal also. Imam Zainul Abidin, rahimahullahu ta'ala, regarding him, Allah Qurtubi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and Sahib Ruhul Ma'ani, Allama Alusi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, they all quote that Imam Zainul Abidin, rahimahullahu ta'ala, one day, he addressed his khadima, the slave girl, that prepare water for wudu. I need to perform wudu. So she started preparing water for wudu. And she came with a utensil, which was made of clay. So she came with the water, and Hazrat had Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullah ta'ala, the son of Hazrat Hussain radiyallahu anhu. His name was Ali, and his title was Zainul Abidin. Very pious personality. He had prepared himself for salat, so with clean clothes and everything. And the slave girl, she came with a utensil made of clay, and it fell from her hand. And when it fell, it dirtied the clothes of Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullah ta'ala, and immediately, naturally, he became angry. So anger was visible on the face of Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullah ta'ala. So the slave girl knew that my master is very pious. He does not only recite the Quran and understand the Quran, he also practices the Quran. So she said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Walqadimin al-ghayz. She said, whilst he is in the state of anger, he said, Allah says, U'iddat lil muttaqeen. Jannat is prepared for muttaqeen. And who are the muttaqeen? One of their qualities is, Walqadimin al-ghayz. Those who swallow anger. Now if my khadim or somebody, my attendant, somebody serving me was to make a mistake and thereafter recite the Quran and say to me, Walqadimin al-ghayz, my anger would double and treble. But they used to practice the Quran. Allahu Akbar. So when she said, Walqadimin al-ghayz, so Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullah ta'ala swallowed the anger and he said, Kadamtu ghayzi. For Allah, I have swallowed my anger. So she said, Allah further says, Wal'afina anin nas. The quality of the people of Jannah is that they forgive people. So he said, Afawtu anki. For Allah, I have forgiven you. So she said, Allah further says, Wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who do good. So he said, Anti hurratun liwajhillah. Go, I have freed you for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amal. So here, tilawat is there, alhamdulillah. Understanding of the Quran is there, and amal is there. When these three things come in a person's life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate him. And if these three comes in the whole ummah collectively, Allah will elevate the whole ummah. So if I bring these three things in my life, and if you brothers don't bring these things in your life, maybe all of you will remain disgraced, but Allah will definitely elevate me. And if Dr. Sahib brings these three things in his life, and all of us discard these three rites of the Quran, we may remain disgraced, but Allah will definitely elevate Dr. Sahib. If Maulana brings all these three qualities in his life, and all of us become neglectful of these three qualities, then the whole ummah may remain disgraced, but Allah will elevate Maulana. Any person who brings these three qualities, reciting the Quran with siha, with tajweed, that is also very important. Reciting the Quran with siha, with tajweed. I remembered one thing, that Qari Khalil Sahib Hafidhahullah Ta'ala is the student of Qari Siddiq Sahib Muddazillahumul Ali. And Qari Siddiq Sahib Muddazillahumul Ali is the student of Qari Anis Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala. And Qari Anis Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala is the student of Qari Muhammad Sabiq Rahimahullah Ta'ala. And Qari Muhammad Sabiq Rahimahullah Ta'ala is the student of Qari Abdul Malik Rahimahullah Ta'ala. Qari Muhammad Sabiq Rahimahullah Ta'ala, the great grandfather of Qari Khalil, Qari Muhammad Sabiq rahimahullah ta'ala. Qari Muhammad Sabiq rahimahullah ta'ala, in trying to study only Riwayat-e-Hafs, he spent 15 years in the khidmah of Qari Abdul Malik rahimahullah ta'ala. 15 years he spent in the khidmah of his teacher, Ustad Qari Abdul Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, in trying to learn only Riwayat-e-Hafs. And as a result of this sacrifice, what did Allah give him? Allah made Qari Muhammad Sabiq such a great Qari, that when Qari Abdul Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, after the partition, decided to leave Lucknow and go to Pakistan, the people in Lucknow, they surrounded him and they said, no, you can't go from here, you are a great Qari, we do not want, we cannot see you depart from here. So what did Qari Abdul Malik rahimahullah ta'ala say? That I am going to Pakistan, I have made a firm resolution, I am leaving. Whenever you feel like seeing Abdul Malik, go and look at Muhammad Sabiq, because he is a copy of Muhammad, of Abdul Malik. This Qari Muhammad Sabiq rahimahullah ta'ala, because of this sacrifice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a student, a shining student, in the form of Qari Anis. And Qari Anis sahib rahimahullah ta'ala came as a teacher in Falah-e-Darain Tarkesar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through him created so many good students. And then Allah ta'ala granted his students, good students. And through them, the ilm and the science of Qira'ah is spreading throughout the world today. So these people gave so much importance, 15 years only in Riwayat-e-Hafs. So alhamdulillah, if we are able to enroll ourselves in any masjid where courses of correcting the tajweed is taking place, please take part. So recitation of the Quran. Recitation of the Quran, trying to understand the Quran and practicing the Quran. When these three things come together, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates. If on an individual base, Allah will elevate the individual person. If on a collective base, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate the whole ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَرْفَوْ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَقْوَامًا وَيَدَوْ بِهِ آخَرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates certain people through this book, those who fulfill the rights of this book, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disgraces others through this book, those who do not fulfill the rights of this book. I will just quote one incident and then conclude. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he met a person who he had delegated as a responsible person in Makkah Mukarramah. He said, you have come here, and who have you made the Amir of Makkah Mukarramah? Who is looking after Makkah Mukarramah? He said, Ibn Abza. So Umar radiyallahu ta'ala said, who is Ibn Abza? Who is Ibn Abza? So he said, he was a slave at one time. He said, one time slave? And you have made him the Amir? Does he have enough knowledge? What quality did you see in him? So he said that he is Alimun bil Fara'id wa Qari'un lil Quran. He said, I have made him the Amir because he is Alim and he is Qari. He is Alim and he is Qari. So he is the one who has the knowledge. He recites the Quran, he understands the Quran, and he practices the Quran. He said, because he is Alim, and he, despite being a freed slave, I have made him the governor of Makkah Mukarramah. So Umar radiyallahu ta'ala, he said, oh Ibn Abza, I have heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Inna Allah ta'ala yarfa'u bihadha al-kitabi aqwama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates the status of certain people through his book, through the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, we are very, very fortunate, all of us, to be here today in this gathering. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant more progress to Tahfiz Academy. This is indeed a very happy occasion for Tahfiz Academy, because the two students who are completing the glorious Quran today, they are the first two Huffaz of the Tahfiz Academy. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the efforts of Qari Khalil sahib and his associates, and also the efforts of our Maulana Muhammad Sindhi sahib and his associates, and whatever both of them are doing in their own fields, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant it acceptance, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of hidayah for thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, and make it a means of salvation for them and all those people who are working with them, and for all of us also. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to follow his deen, to strive for his deen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become pleased with us in this world and also in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد، ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الفلق، من شر ما خلق، ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب، ومن شر النفاثات في العقد، ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس، ملك الناس، إله الناس، من شر الوسواس الخناس، الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس، من الجنة والناس. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم، غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه، هدى للمتقين، الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون، والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون، أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. صدق الله العظيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد، ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الفلق، من شر ما خلق، ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب، ومن شر النفاثات في العقد، ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس، ملك الناس، إله الناس، من شر الوسواس الخناس، الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس، من الجنة والناس. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم، غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه، هدى للمتقين، الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون، والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون، أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك، يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما آتيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد. اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا أواخرها وخير أعمالنا خواتيمها وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. يا ولي الإسلام وأهله ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك. اللهم ارزقنا شهادة في سبيلك واجعل موتنا في بلد رسولك صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم انا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. اللهم انا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. اللهم انا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم لا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم لا تجعلنا من الغافلين. يا رب كل شيء بقدرتك على كل شيء اغفر لنا كل شيء حتى لا تسألنا عن شيء. اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أنت عالم به منا. أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت. اللهم آنس وحشتنا في قبورنا. اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن العظيم واجعله لنا إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة. اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار واجعله لنا حجة يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يحل حلاله ويحرم حرامه ويقيم حدوده. اللهم اجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب همومنا وهمومنا وسائقنا وقائدنا إلى جنات النعيم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. ہم سب کی گناہوں کو معاف فرما، ہماری لگزشوں سے درگزر فرما، ہماری سیئات کو معاف فرما. یا ارحم الراحمین ہم گندے ہیں، یا ارحم الراحمین ہم گنہگار ہیں. الہ العالمین ہمارے جسم کا رواں رواں تیرا نافرمان ہے. یا ارحم الراحمین معاف فرما دے، معاف فرما دے، معاف فرما دے. یا ارحم الراحمین ہمارے ہاتھ اتنے گندے ہیں کہ وہ تیرے دربار میں اٹھائے جانے کے قابل نہیں ہے. ہماری آنکھوں سے بہنے والے آنسو اتنے گندے ہیں کہ الہ العالمین وہ اس قابل نہیں کہ تیرے دربار میں پیش کیے جا سکے. الہ العالمین گناہوں سے ہماری زبانیں اتنی گندی ہو چکی ہے کہ وہ اس قابل نہیں کہ تیرے
سامنے کچھ عرض کر سکے. الہ العالمین جسم کا بار بار, جسم کا رواں رواں, جسم کا ہر عضو تیرا نافرمان ہے. الہ العالمین ہم اقراری مجرم ہیں. الہ العالمین نعمتیں تیری کھاتے رہے مگر نافرمانی تیرے دشمن ہمارے دشمن کی کرتے رہے. اے رب الرحیم معاف فرما دے, معاف فرما دے, معاف فرما دے. الہ العالمین تو معاف کرنے کو پسند کرتا ہے. الہ العالمین تو معصوم جانوں میں الہ العالمین تیرے کلام پاک کی 6000 سے زیادہ آیتوں کو اپنے سینے میں محفوظ کر لیا ہے. الہ العالمین ان دونوں کی برکت سے, ان دونوں کی محنتوں کی برکت سے, ان کے استاد کی محنت کی برکت سے, اس تکمیل کلام پاک کی برکت سے ہماری بخشش فرما دے. الہ العالمین ہمارے اہل و عیال کی بخشش فرما دے, ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما دے, ہمارے خاندان کی بخشش فرما دے. الہ العالمین ہمارے رشتہ داروں کی بخشش فرما دے, ہمارے دوست احباب کی بخشش فرما دے, پوری امت کی مغفرت فرما دے. الہ العالمین ہم تو اس لائق نہیں ہے کہ ہماری مغفرت کی جائے, مگر الہ العالمین تو تو اس لائق ہے کہ تو ہمیں معاف کر دے. الہ العالمین معاف کر دے, معاف فرما دے, معاف فرما دے. تیرے در کی ہم بھکاری ہیں, الہ العالمین تیری معافی کے ہم محتاج ہیں. الہ العالمین تیری معافی کے بغیر, الہ العالمین, الہ العالمین ہمارا کوئی ٹھکانا نہیں ہے. الہ العالمین معاف کر دے, معاف کر دے. الہ العالمین معاف فرما دے, العالمین معاف فرما دے, العالمین معاف فرما دے. یا رحم الرحیمین رات کی اندھیریوں میں کیے ہوئے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے, دن کے اجالے میں کیے ہوئے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے. الہ العالمین چھپ چھپ کر کیے ہوئے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے, اگر اعلان کیے ہوئے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے. الہ العالمین جان بوجھ کر کیے ہوئے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے, بھول کر کیے ہوئے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے. الہ العالمین چھوٹے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے, بڑے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے. الہ العالمین اگر تو ہماری بخشش کر دے گا, تیرے خزانے میں کوئی کمی نہیں آئے گی. الہ العالمین مگر ہمارا بیڑا پار ہو جائے گا. الہ العالمین ہمارا بیڑا پار لگا دے, ہمارا بیڑا پار لگا دے, ہمیں معاف فرما دے, ہمیں اپنے خاص بندوں میں شامل فرما دے. الہ العالمین یہ سب کچھ تیرے لیے کچھ مشکل نہیں ہے. الہ العالمین پنے ایک ہی آن میں, ایک ہی گھڑی میں شراب پینے والوں کو تیرا ولی بنا دیا ہے, لٹیروں کو تجھے ولی بنایا ہے, ڈاکہ ڈالنے والوں کو تجھے ولی بنایا ہے. الہ العالمین سینہ کرنے والوں کو تجھے ولی بنایا ہے. الہ العالمین ہمیں بھی مقام ولایت عطا فرما دے, مقام صدیقیت عطا فرما دے. الہ العالمین اپنا عشق عطا فرما دے, اپنی محبت عطا فرما دے. الہ العالمین ہم تجھ سے ہماری اپنی حیثیت دیکھ کر نہیں مانگ رہے ہیں, ہم تو تجھ سے تیری حیثیت کے مطابق مانگ رہے ہیں. الہ العالمین ہمیں اپنا ولی بنا دے, ہمیں اپنا عشق عطا فرما دے, اپنی محبت عطا فرما دے. الہ العالمین ہمارے حق میں, ہمارے اہل و عیال کے حق میں, ہمارے متعلقین کے حق میں دائمی ولایت کا فیصلہ فرما دے, دائمی رضا کا فیصلہ فرما دے, دائمی حسن خاتمہ کا فیصلہ فرما دے, دائمی جنت کا فیصلہ فرما دے. یا رب الرحیمین دنیا اور آخرت کی ہر خیر عطا فرما, دنیا اور آخرت کے ہر شر سے ہمیں محفوظ فرما. الہ العالمین حسن خاتمہ سے مالا مال فرما, الہ العالمین سوء خاتمے سے ہماری حفاظت فرما, الہ العالمین آخرت کی ساری منزلیں ہمارے لیے آسان فرما. یا رب الرحیمین اپنی پناہ عطا فرما, اپنی پناہ عطا فرما, اپنی پناہ عطا فرما. الہ العالمین تیری ناراضگی سے, تیری جہنم سے, تیرے عذاب سے, تیری پکڑ سے, ہر فتنے سے, ہر شر سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. العالمین جنت الفردوس میں داخلہ نصیب فرما, انبیاء صدیقین شہداء صالحین کی رفاقت عطا فرما. یا رب الرحیمین زندہ بچوں نے تیرے اپنے اپنے سینوں کو تیرے کلام پاک کا خزینہ بنایا ہے, الہ العالمین انہیں بے انتہا قبول فرما دے. الہ العالمین ان دونوں کو بے انتہا قبول فرما دے. الہ العالمین ان دونوں کو بے انتہا قبول فرما دے. الہ العالمین امت کو اچھے علماء ربانیین کی ضرورت ہے. الہ العالمین انہیں علماء ربانیین میں شامل فرما دے. الہ العالمین انہیں امت کی قیادت نصیب فرما دے. الہ العالمین انہیں امت کی ہدایت کے لیے قبول فرما دے. انہیں اپنے ماں باپ کے لیے, اپنے اساتذہ کے لیے, العالمین اپنے خاندان کے لیے ہم سب کے لیے آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک بنا دے، صدقہ جاریہ بنا دے، مرتے دم تک انہیں قرآن سے وابستگی عطا فرما، انہیں قرآن کے معانی کا قرآن کے معانی سے بھی بہراور فرما دے، انہیں قرآن پر عمل کرنے والا بنا دے، العالمین چار داغے عالم میں قرآنی تعلیمات کو لے کر چلنے پھرنے والا بنا دے، یہ رب الرحیم تحفیظ اکیڈمی میں جتنے طلبا پڑھ رہے ہیں سب کو بے انتہا قبول بنا، العالمین اس مدرسے میں داخلہ لینے والوں میں سے کسی کو محروم نہ بنا، العالمین اس مدرسے کو دن دگنی رات چگنی ترقیات سے مالا مال بنا، اس ادارے میں غیر مسلموں کی ہدایت کے لیے جو کوششیں ہو رہی ہیں العالمین اس میں بھی کامیابی عطا فرما، العالمین تیرے ہر غیر مسلم بندے کو ایمان کی دولت سے مالا مال بنا، العالمین مولانا اور ان کے روفہ کا جو محنتیں کر رہے ہیں انہیں قبول بنا، العالمین پورے ریستر میں پورے ملک میں پورے عالم میں ہدایت کے عام ہونے کا ذریعہ بنا، ان دونوں اداروں کے العالمین جو ان کی ضرورتیں ہیں انہیں غیب سے مہیا فرما، العالمین ظاہری باطنی مادی روحانی جن جن اسباب کی ضرورت ہے سب کا غیب سے انتظام فرما، یہ ارحم الراحمین مجلس دعوت الحق کے آگے کے جتنے منصوبے ہیں ان میں بھی بہت کامیابی عطا فرما، الہ العالمین اس کی تعمیر نو کو آسان فرما دے، الہ العالمین آگے کے جتنے مراحل ہیں سب مراحل کو آسان فرما دے، الہ العالمین ان تینوں اداروں کو بے انتہا قبول فرما، ریسٹر میں جتنے ادارے ہیں سب کو قبول فرما، الہ العالمین جتنی اسلامی اسکولیں ہیں جتنے دینی ادارے ہیں جتنی مساجد ہیں جتنے مدارس ہیں جتنے افراد دین کے کام میں لگے ہوئے ہیں جتنے علماء ہیں جتنے مشائخ ہیں العالمین سب کو قبول فرما دے، العالمین سب کے لیے ان کی ضرورتوں کو پورا فرما دے، ارحم الراحمین سب کو قدم قدم پہ برکتیں نصیب فرما، العالمین رحمتیں نصیب فرما، العالمین نصرتیں نصیب فرما، اے ارحم الراحمین سب کے اخلاص میں مزید اضافہ فرما، سب کے آپس کے اتفاق اور محبتوں میں مزید اضافہ فرما، ارحم الراحمین سب کی جد و جہد میں جفا کشی میں مزید اضافہ فرما، سب کی خدمتوں میں مزید اضافہ فرما، ارحم الراحمین جن جن بھائیوں نے بہنوں نے ہمیں دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے لکھا ہے جو ہم سے متوقع ہیں جن کا ہم پر حق بنتا ہے جو ہم سے تعلق رکھتے ہیں محبت رکھتے ہیں خصوصاً ہمارے ماں باپ ہمارے اساتذہ ہمارے مشائخ ہمارے دوست احباب ہمارے اہل و عیال ہمارے محبین محسنین سبھی کے تمام جائز نیک مقاصد کو پورا کرنا، الہ العالمین جو کچھ ہم نے مانگا وہ بھی عطا فرما، جو مانگنا چاہیے تھا نہیں مانگ سکے وہ بھی عطا فرما، آپ کے محبوب پیغمبر صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی مانگی ہوئی ہر خیر عطا فرما، جن شروع سے آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے پناہ مانگی تھی ان سے الہ العالمین پناہ عطا فرما، الہ العالمین ہمارے مرحومین کی مغفرت فرما، الہ العالمین جو زندہ ہے انہیں صراط مستقیم پر ثابت قدمی عطا فرما، ایک دو منٹ کے لیے قبولیت کی گھڑی ہے سب اپنی اپنی حاجتیں مانگو، تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم، رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين، سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، واخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.